So here's what I want to do today. Let's first start with Psalms 23:6. Psalm 23:6. Guys, put that up on the screen, if you would, for me. And a passage that you're familiar with. This is part of the 23rd Psalm. Many of you could recite this. But at the end, he says this. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Matter of fact, can we read that? Can we say that together? Can we fill this place with faith and just read these words? Read them with me together. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Let's try it again. But when we say all, emphasize that it is always. Do you get it? You don't have to say always, but say all. You got it? Let's try it again. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I want to talk to you, and all I'm going to do today is, I won't talk to you for a long time, but I want to just tell you a story. And then after I tell you a story, there's three applications, three things that I believe God is going to speak to you. I don't believe I have a good sermon today. I believe I have a message from God today. And that's different. And I want you to understand. Sometimes we come to church. The Holy Spirit spoke to me about 2 years ago, and he said, "Drew, please understand what you are doing. Your role is not insignificant. It is an incredibly significant role. And I have put you in charge that every weekend people will come to this church, and it is your assignment that you connect them with a very real, loving, caring God. So I don't have a good message today. I have a great message, and it's great because I believe God is going to speak to you today. But at first, I want to tell you this story, and it's a story that you can find. You don't have to turn it there because it's many, many chapters. You can read it when you get home, but it's found, I want to give you the reference, it's found in Genesis, starting with the 37th chapter and going to the 46th chapter. And it's the story of Joseph. And let me tell you about Joseph. Some of you know it, this story. If you know this story, listen to it and get ready to hear from God. If you don't know this story, listen to this story and get ready to hear from God, because I believe God is going to speak to you today. Joseph is the youngest. He's got 11 older brothers. And his father ends up loving him the most. How many recognize sometimes the youngest is the most loved? Not all the time, but somebody has a, yeah, yes. Sometimes that happens. And in his story, that was what happened. And so his brothers started to become very jealous. At one point in time, the father even gives him a coat that was many colors. It was a beautiful coat. It was a special coat, and it was given just to Joseph. And so his brothers were out in the field, actually far away from the home, and the father hadn't seen the brothers for a while. And the father told Joseph, "Joseph, I want you to go out. I want you to find your brothers." And he went looking for his brothers, and he finally finds them. But when he finds them, they see Joseph walking towards them. And as they see Joseph walking towards them, they get an idea. Oh, I forgot to tell you this part. Joseph also had a story. He had a dream. He had two dreams, matter of fact. And he was so excited about his dreams, he told his older brothers. Which, how many know that might not have been the smartest idea? Because in both of his dreams, here's what his dreams were: that someday you are going to bow down before me. And he had it twice, and he told his brothers both times. Matter of fact, in the second story, his mom and his dad was included in the story, and even the dad said, "What the heck? What are you saying? That me and your brothers and your mom are going to bow down before you?" And Joseph was like, "I'm just telling you the dream." So his brothers see him, and they are annoyed with him because his dad loved him so much, and more than them. And they have, he shared with him this dream. So they see him far away, and they, as they're coming, as he's coming up, as he's still far away, they start to get together and they say, hey, let's kill him. Enough is enough. We'll just kill our brother and we won't have to mess with it anymore. So he gets there, and before they kill him, another brother thinks, well, why would we do that? We can just put him in a pit. We're in a desert. And you know what? He'll die here. And the other brothers thought that was a good idea. Ironically enough, that one brother actually wanted to come around and save him. Interesting little part of that story. But anyway, before he can do that, they put him in a pit, and they see a caravan going to Egypt. And they recognize, and then another brother said, well, let's do this. Let's pull him out, and let's make some money on him. Let's sell him to these people as a slave, and we'll make money. So that's what they did. They pulled him out. They sold him. He goes into Egypt. He gets sold into slavery. He gets sold into a Potiphar's house. That was the guy's name. And Potiphar was a some kind of official, high official in Egypt. But Potiphar recognized that Joseph was special. And he saw a favor on Joseph, and so he put him in charge of his house. And when he put him in charge of his house, he saw such blessings happen to his house. Joseph, the Bible says, was good looking. And so, Potiphar's wife, you know what, noticed that he was good looking too. So Potiphar's wife would constantly try to get Joseph to sleep with her. Joseph loved God and was honoring God and honored Potiphar and said, no. Well, one day, everyone was outside except Joseph was caught inside with her. And so she grabbed him and said, no, you are sleeping with me. And he said, no, I'm not. And he ran. Well, when he ran, his coat stayed with her. And she was annoyed that Joseph wouldn't sleep with her. And so she started crying that she had been raped by Joseph. And Potiphar comes home, and she says, see, I have proof. I have his coat. And Potiphar believed his wife. And so Joseph, imagine this, having done the right thing, gets thrown in jail. Gets thrown in jail. And the person in charge of the jail recognizes the specialness on Joseph's life. And he scratches his head, and he says, imagine this. He says, you're a prisoner. I'm gonna give you control of this prison, and I'm gonna go play golf. Now, how many know it's awful to be a slave, but if at least you're gonna be a slave, at least you'll be in charge of the whole house. That's better, right? How many know it's awful to be in prison, but if you're gonna be in prison, to be in charge of the whole prison, that's still better, right? But he's in prison and he's in charge of the whole prison. Well, one day, he gets two new roommates. And these two new roommates are from Pharaoh's palace, happen to be the butler and the baker. Now, I don't know what the baker did, you know what I mean? Burnt a cake or something, but irritates Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I ain't eating no burnt cakes. You're going to jail. You know what? I have no idea what the butler did. Ran over his cat or something. But they're both in jail, and they both have a dream. Well, they ask Joseph if he can interpret the dream, and he interprets their dream. And he first tells the butler, he says, hey, your dream is this. In 3 days, you're going to be out of prison, restored back to the palace. Well, how many know the baker's thinking, man, this is a good setup. What's my dream? And he tells him his dream, and he says, well, yours is kind of the same, but they're a little different. It's going to be happening in 3 days, but in 3 days, you're going to be dead. And in 3 days, the baker was dead, and the butler was back to the palace. But before he left, Joseph said, "Hey, don't forget about me. I'm not here because I did anything wrong. This is not lawful that I'm here. I shouldn't be here. I didn't do anything wrong. Please, if you can say a good word, don't forget about me." Well, the butler goes back into the palace, Pharaoh's house, and he does forget about Joseph. And later on, the Pharaoh has a dream himself, and no one can interpret the dream. And the butler hears and he says, "Oh yeah, there's this guy in prison, and he interpreted our dreams, and he was 100% right." And Pharaoh said, "Shave him, clean him up, get him new clothes, give him a shave," and he comes in the palace. And the Pharaoh speaks to Joseph and says, "Can you interpret my dream?" And he tells him his dream, and he says, "I can't interpret your dream. Here's what's going to happen. For 7 years, we're going to have incredible blessing. I mean, really, really fruitful time. But then after that 7 years, we're going to have 7 years of famine. It's going to be drought, famine. And if you don't prepare for this by taking a percentage of all the food every single year for 7 years, your whole country is going to be messed up. But if you take a percentage of that food, because we're going to be blessed for 7 years, here's what's going to happen. Your whole country is going to be blessed, and because you're going to be able to weather the storm." And so Pharaoh scratches his head and says, "Well, I need somebody who's really smart to implement this plan." And he says, "Joseph, I can't think of anybody smarter than you, because nobody could tell me this dream. You're going to be in charge of it." And so Joseph is in charge. And sure enough, every year he's taking this grain aside. Well, the 7 years runs out, and they start to have years of famine. Oh, yeah. Remember Joseph's brothers? Joseph's brothers, you know what, haven't saved grain. They have lived high on the hog for 7 years. They've got plenty of money, but after the 7 years, they have no food. And so the brothers go to the palace, and guess who they're going to talk to? The person in charge of distributing the grain. Who is that? That's Joseph. And Joseph sees his brothers. And he sees his brothers, and he recognizes his brothers. But Joseph's brothers don't recognize him. So he's a Hebrew. He knows the language. But instead of revealing himself to them, he calls in an interpreter, and he acts like he doesn't know the language. So he's using this interpreter. The brothers are speaking to the interpreter, but Joseph understands every word of what they're saying. The brothers are completely tricked. They don't know what's going on. Joseph is going to send his brothers away. But when he sends them away, he sends them with the grain that they paid for. But then he slips in the money that was to pay for him in all their sacks. The brother opens up the sacks. They're at a rest station. They open up the sacks, one of the brothers, and he says, "Oh my goodness, we're so messed up." Joseph does this before they leave. He says this. He says, "Tell me about your dad. Does your dad live?" And they tell him. And he says, "Tell me about your brothers." And the brothers say, "Well, one of our brothers is dead. And our other brother, Benjamin, he's at home. The first brother was the youngest, but he's dead. And now my father loves Benjamin more than all of us. He became the second favorite." But now my father is scared, and my father won't let Benjamin leave at all. He's always watching Benjamin because of what happened to our first brother. Joseph says, I don't believe you. I think you guys are spies. He says, to prove to me that you're telling the truth, you go home and you get Benjamin and you bring Benjamin back. They go home. How many know the father doesn't feel like doing this? Oh, one more part of the story I forgot to tell you. He says, I'm going to keep one of your brothers and throw him in jail till you come back. Imagine, the brothers go home and they tell the dad, here's what they tell their dad. Hey, dad, we lost one of our brothers. He's in jail and the Pharaoh's buddy has him and we have to take Benjamin with us. The dad doesn't want this to happen. The dad says, nope, it ain't going to happen. Can you imagine this? He says, nope, the other brother's going to stay in jail, but you ain't taking Benjamin from me. I've already lost Joseph. I'm not going to lose Benjamin. It's not until they run out of food again that the father changes his mind. Did you know that in the story? It's not until they run out of food that the father changes his mind. And then one of the brothers has to say, Dad, I promise you, if we don't come back, if I don't bring Benjamin back to you, you can have my two sons. They go back. Long story short, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And he tells his brothers, because his brothers are freaked out. Now his brothers know, oh my goodness, this is Joseph. He's really going to kill us. And Joseph says, no, guys, come to me. You're going to live in the palace with me. You know that little farm you had out in, you know what, in Rancho Cucamonga? You know that farm? Okay. No. You're coming and you're going to live in Bel Air. And I'm giving you Bel Air land now. Now, nice story, right?
Yeah.
What can we walk away and learning from this story? And I've only got three things. I told you I'm not going to talk to you for a long time. But I believe that we really need to hear these things. Number one. Joseph is blessed. Let's say that together. Joseph is blessed. What do I mean by that? I want you to notice that Joseph is blessed because of his relationship with God. And so, where he goes, he is blessed. Now listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. Don't think that you can just go wherever you want to go and not listen to God. Because James says, don't go to another city and just say, well, we're going to go here. I got a plan. No. You need to be obedient to what God is calling you to do. But what I am saying is, once you're obedient to do what God has called you to do, let me tell you what, you're blessed. Joseph is blessed. And even though his situation is far from perfect, he is still a blessed man. So he is sold into slavery. And what is he? Somebody say, Joseph's blessed. Why? So because the favor of God is on him. Why? Because he's got a relationship with God. He's blessed. Is he blessed? Yes, he's blessed. And he's blessed not only in Potiphar's house, but then when he gets thrown into jail, what is he? He's blessed. He's still blessed. What's my point? My point is, you know what? If you're being obedient to the calling that God has called you to do, if you're doing everything you know to be obedient to God, can I tell you what? You will be blessed. And stop thinking that your circumstances are keeping you from being blessed. You are blessed. So Joseph is so blessed that even as a slave, what is he?
Blessed.
Come on, somebody, what is he?
Blessed.
Even though he's a slave, what is he?
Blessed.
He's blessed. We have let circumstances talk us out of our blessing. We have let situations say, well, I'm telling you what, if only I'm, you know, and if only, you know, if only I was like, who's like the rich guy, Microsoft guy? Yeah, if only I was like Bill Gates, then I'd be happy. That's ridiculous. You are blessed, and you're blessed wherever you, as long as you're obedient to the things of God, you're blessed where you go. I'm not saying, listen very carefully, I'm not saying that you don't have boundaries. Remember when God spoke to Israel? You can look it up in the Old Testament. He gave them specific boundaries. You're not, you listen, this is your land. It's from here to over here to over here to over here. And the Bible said, but here's what the Bible told them. Every place that you put your foot in, guess what you're going to be? You, as long as you stay in that situation, you're going to be blessed. In every single situation, every place you put your foot to, you're going to be blessed. Why? Because you are blessed. Do you understand that? So I'm living in Newport Beach. The blessing of God is upon me. Why? Because I'm being obedient to a great extent in what God has called me to be. Not perfectly, but you know what? My heart was right with God. And I was making, you know what? I was part of the worship team. You know what? At Mesa Bible Chapel. You know what? And I was ministering, you know what? At Lucky's. I was not doing everything perfect, but I was doing a lot of things right. And I was blessed. And people could see that I was blessed. So, you know what? A friend comes in the grocery store. She says, I just got a place across the street. I said, really? She said, it's such a cute place. I said, wow, do you know any place like that? She said, actually, I think right behind me is a bachelor place. And I think, you know what, the owner was working on it the other day. I think that might be available. Oh, Pastor Drew, you just always get lucky. You're just so lucky. No. I am blessed, amen. And so I went across the street, and sure enough, the owner was there. I said, "Hey, I don't drink. You know what? I don't smoke. You know what I mean? And you know what? And I would be a good tenant." Why do I tell him that? Because you know what? I'm a smart guy, amen. How many know God? Their steps will be ordered of God. How many know God can tell you some plans and what to say and what not to say? Come on, who's here today? You know what? And that's what I told him. I thought, you know what? He's probably got used to so many drunken ding-dongs in there at Newport Beach partying, messing up his place. I ain't going to mess up your place. I said, you know what? I work hard. I'm hardly ever going to be here.
Come on.
He said, okay, well, you know what? You know what? How about $250 a month? I said, how about $200 a month? I'm just asking, amen. I did too. That's exactly. I said, how about 200? I said, I'm going to be a good tenant. He said, Pastor, why in the world would you be so cocky when he's offering 250? Why do you say 200? Well, you tell me why.
Because I'm blessed.
Amen. I'm blessed. So we, see here's what I'm trying to say. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that as you're being obedient to God, that you'll be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the field.
Amen.
You'll be blessed coming in and you'll be blessed going out. Do you understand?
Yes.
See, we need to get a way more. The Bible says don't throw away your confidence. Let me tell you what, you're blessed because you have a relationship with the one true and living God, because things, listen, well, you know what, but things aren't fair. You're right, they're not fair. Things are tipped in your favor.
Yeah, come on.
And we've got to recognize that. You've got to recognize that. Joseph recognizes that. And you allow your circumstances to talk you out of your blessing. Joseph ain't looking and saying, oh, I'm a slave. He's not saying that. He's saying, let me tell you what. The favor of God is on me. And if I'm going to be a slave, then I'm going to be head of this household. The Bible says that, you know what, the only thing that Potiphar knew is, you know what, is what he was going to eat. That's all he's, you know what he's saying? That's all he's thinking about. He's not thinking about the gas bill. He's not thinking about electric bill. He's not thinking about the goats, you know, are out. He's not thinking about any of that. All he's thinking about is, you know what, I'm going to have some chicken fettuccine today. That's all he's thinking about. Why? Because Joseph is in charge of everything. Can you say amen to this? So in the course of time, I hear God calling me up to La Puente. When I used to tell people, and they'd come in the grocery store, and I used to tell people, and they'd say, you know what, we haven't seen you around. Are you new? I said, no, I've been working for Lucky's for a long time. I transferred. Oh, where do you transfer from? I transferred from Newport Beach. I am working in Baldwin Park. And they'd look at me like, what kind of dodo bird are you? And they'd say, oh, and they kind of have a sad look. Oh, I'm sorry, that's so bad. And I say, no, I asked for the transfer. And that's when they looked at me like, you are a ding-dong. See? But can I tell you what? They look at me as a ding-dong, and I think, you know what? No, no, no. I was blessed in Newport Beach, and I'm going to be blessed in Baldwin Park. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen to this? Amen. See, why? Because I'm being obedient to what God has called me to be. It's not about where I am. It's about who I know. Are you catching this? And so I am blessed. And so, you know what? Tamara was my girlfriend. You talk about blessed. I was smart, too. Amen. And I married Tamara. And you know what? And she's like, oh, okay. So where are we going to live? Let's start looking for, a place. Let's look for an apartment. I said, we ain't looking for no apartment. Apartments are like $750 a month. That ain't happening. She's like, oh, what are we going to do? I said, well, right now, you know what? We're going to live in your place in Newport Beach one day a week, and we're going to live with my mama in La Puente. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. But here's the thing. Listen, I'm not an idiot. I wasn't planning on, we weren't staying with my mama for a long time. I knew the blessing of God was coming upon me. Because here's what I knew. God's not, listen, that $200 apartment in Newport Beach was a blessing from God. But I'm blessed wherever I go. As long as I'm being obedient, I'm going to be blessed. So I'm just waiting for the blessing. Sure enough, 2, 3, 4 weeks later, somebody comes up to Tamara. I think that was, how many know God has a great sense of humor? Doesn't come to me, comes to Tamara and says, hey, there's this guy, this very wealthy businessman who owns all kinds of apartments in San Gabriel. And you know what? And he is looking for a young Christian couple to come and live in his place and manage his place. You think you'd be interested? Oh, the blessing of God is upon me. So we went, and I don't know. I'm just thinking this could be, amen. And so we went with this guy, and he's like, okay, so here's how much you pay rent. Nothing. How many know this is better than my deal in Newport Beach, amen? Amen. Can you say amen, somebody? So, you know, and of course we had to do some work, but I'm telling you, it was a blessing. And then he says, and because you have so many units, guess what? I'm going to pay you every month. I'm going to pay you $500. Oh, man. Hallelujah. See, what am I teaching my young wife? I'm teaching her that we are blessed. I said, well, I don't, Pastor, I don't know about all that. Well, how many were here last week? You better know all this. Because, listen, God's not a respecter of persons. You know what God says? You know what God says? I showed it to you last week, right in the Word. You know what God says? God says that the unbelieving heart is an evil heart. See, you think it's no big deal to doubt God. I say it is a big deal to doubt God. Amen? I say what the Bible says. That is an evil heart. I'm expecting blessings of God. Why? Because I see it in the Word of God. He says, I'm going to be blessed coming in, and I'm going to be blessed going out. I'm going to be blessed in the city. I'm going to be blessed in the field. Amen? I'm going to be blessed when I go to McDonald's, and I'm going to be blessed when I go to Burger King. Amen? Especially when I go to Burger King. No. Especially when I go to In-N-Out. That's what I meant to say. Right? Number one, you are blessed. Number two, many times in life, God's biggest blessings are behind the curtain. Some of you too young to remember this, but there used to be this show, and it was called, where they all dressed up and Let's Make a Deal. Thank you. Look it up, Google it, okay? And these people would dress up and they would pick curtain number one or curtain number two, box number one or box number two. And sometimes there'd be a car behind the curtain. Sometimes there'd be a goat behind the box. And Monty Hall would say, what do you want? Do you want curtain number one and curtain number two? Here's what I'm telling you. The blessing is behind the curtain. And I'm telling you what, there is no booby prize behind the curtain. Yeah, you try saying that, okay? There is no goat behind the curtain. I'll say it like that. See, watch this. Joseph's dad, let's go back to the story. Joseph's dad thinks he's lost his favorite son, his younger son. He thinks he's about to lose his second favorite son, and he's got a third son that is in jail. And he's like, I don't know about all this. I'm staying pat. I'm keeping Benjamin. Can I tell you what? Joseph is behind the curtain. Joseph is going to let the other brother out, and Joseph has no intention in keeping Benjamin. Behind the curtain, Joseph's dad has all three brothers back, his whole family back. The son who he thought is dead is right. Where is that son? Somebody say behind the curtain. Here's what I'm telling you. God goes before you and he makes the crooked path straight.
That's right. Amen.
That's what he says in his word.
God
is on your side. God is for you. God is working things out for your good. Even those things that were seem to be bad, even those bad situations, and you think, you know what, I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, it makes plenty of sense to God. He is behind the curtain. And your blessing is just behind the curtain. Your blessing is just under the surface. You just can't see it. Your blessing is right around the corner. But you need to stay in faith. You need to keep your heart right and say, no. God's blessing is upon me. Didn't God say that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life? Yeah, but the situation doesn't look good. Yeah, but we aren't moved by our situations. The just, Habakkuk says, the just shall live. Listen, doesn't say the just shall live by faith. It says the just shall live by their faith. You know what you ought to be saying every day of your life? My blessing is just around the corner. My blessing is just under the surface. My blessing is behind curtain number one. Can you say amen? Yeah, man, I ain't working at Lucky's. I ain't working at a grocery store. Well, praise God. Do what I did. I would take that they would give me my till. It'd be full of money. And they'd stick me a quick check, the worst place. And I'd go in front of all the checkers. And the quick check was check stand number one all the way down. And I would go in front of check stand 9 and check stand 7 and check stand 8. And I would look at them all and I'd say, guess what? I'm number one. And I'm not being cocky. I wasn't rude. Everybody knew I was just screwing around. Everybody knew the quick check was the worst. Everybody knew what I was doing. But did they really know what I was doing? From the heart, the mouth speaks. I was kind of making a joke, but I kind of wasn't making a joke. I am number one. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that you're beneath me. I'm just saying, I am blessed. And I might be down here at Quick Check, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I might have 8 hours of Quick Check, but let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have fun all 8 hours down here. Because my situation isn't going to dictate to me whether I'm blessed or whether I'm not. My God is going to tell me who I am. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed if I get check stand number 7 or I get check stand number 1.
Yeah. Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And finally, and this is the most important, Joseph is blessed to be a blessing to others. His brothers, when he reveals to himself, and all of a sudden he goes from not knowing the language to speaking the language. One time I was in the grocery store, and we had a black manager who knew perfect Spanish, and there was some Spanish speaking guys, and they started talking Spanish, and it wasn't, I didn't know what they were saying, but it wasn't kindly of this manager. And them thinking, can I look at your neighbor and say, you can't tell the book by its cover. And they were saying, you know what, they were saying some stuff about him, and he heard every single word because he knew Spanish perfectly. And you know what he did? And then he started speaking Spanish back to them. And they were like, ooh. Anyway. It really was awesome. It was cool. So, but here's what I'm saying. When he starts speaking Hebrew to his brothers, and his brothers recognize, oh my goodness, that is Joseph. And they're freaked out. Joseph says this, guys, come near me. He says, let me tell you what. He says this. Oh, it's so good. I really need to read it to you because it's so Genesis 45. You guys have it in the back, starting with verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So that they came near. Then he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Don't be mad at yourself. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? See, you're blessed to be blessing to others. Can you give grace to someone who doesn't deserve grace? Can you be merciful to somebody who doesn't, in your eyes, doesn't deserve mercy? Or can we say this? Can we say, if God says they deserve mercy, can you give them mercy even though you think they don't deserve mercy? You know, we live in a crazy, how many know we live in a crazy world? And diplomacy has gone out the window. And we think right means everything. I love, you know what, could we learn some history? Could somebody in this country learn some history? Could we look at men who were honorable and had integrity? Could we look at Martin Luther King Jr. and recognize that he was not only right in what he did, but right in how he did it? Could we stop thinking that we're right, and because we're right, that we can just say anything to anyone, any way we want? Because you're right, does that mean that you can act in a wrong, unchristian way? And let me go a step farther. And if we can't do it in the church, who's to do it? If we can't show compassion, if we can't show sympathy, if we can't love unloving people, who is going to love unloving people? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can somebody say amen to this? See, Joseph deserved to be killed, and Joseph had all the power to kill every single one of them. And he says, no. He says, listen to his heart. He says, don't be mad at yourself. Don't walk in condemnation. It's forgotten in my life. You forget it too. We'll act like nothing ever happened. You know the Bible, I love the Bible says, because I love the Bible because the Bible says the same thing in just different ways. Matthew says the same thing. John says the same thing. Ephesians says the same thing. James says the same thing that John says. I love the Bible. And the Bible in Corinthians, Paul says this: love keeps no record of wrongs. He says, guys, just forget it. Just forget. Listen, I've forgotten it, but make sure you forget it. Because I don't want you. Look, guys, understand that what Satan meant for our destruction, God turned around for our good. Amen. Guess what, guys? This famine, you know what he says? You go home and read it. He says, this famine would have wiped you out. But guess what? You're not wiped out anymore. See, you know what the Bible says? Goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. Has somebody gotten mercy from God? Has somebody, you know what mercy is? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. How many of you have not gotten what you deserve? Here's what Jesus says. Keep up your hands. Here's what the Bible says to you. Here's what the Bible says to you. Jesus himself says this to you today. He says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely give. But you don't understand, Pastor. But you don't understand. You don't understand my marriage, Pastor. You don't understand. You have no idea. You don't understand my spouse. Oh, my goodness, my spouse. She is so. Well, let me tell you about your spouse. Your spouse is like you, filled with imperfection. You say, Pastor, you don't know my spouse. My spouse is really, 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 really got issues. I mean, I got issues, but my spouse is out. See, and listen to me. And we laugh, but you know why we're laughing? We're laughing because that's what we think. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Laugh because that's what we think. Can I tell you what? You are blessed. immensely. Amen. Let me tell you why. Because the Bible says, to whom he forgives much, that person loves much. Does that know what the Bible said?
Yes.
Can I tell you what? You think your spouse doesn't recognize how jacked up they are? Oh, they know better than you how jacked up they are. And when you show them mercy, when they deserve to be in the doghouse, but you don't put them in the doghouse. I know none of you can relate. You're looking out the window. You're in the car, you're looking out the window. When you scooch over and give your spouse a kiss instead of looking out the window, I'm telling you what, you have no idea the power that you have. And the Bible says, with the same way that you measure it out, that's the same way it's going to be measured back to you. And you have no idea. The more jacked up your spouse is, the better marriage you can have. That's what I say. Why? Because when you show that love to that spouse, I'm just telling you a principle in the Bible. If anyone could be annoyed, they were going to kill him. They took his coat. They killed an animal and rubbed that blood in the animal in the coat and took it back to the dad and said, Joseph's dead. And then they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And he had to live, let's see, 13 years in either jail or a prisoner, a slave. And you think you got problems? Joseph is an example to us of Jesus' incredible love that he's forgiven us of everything. And I would remind you, and listen, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. That mercy is given to you that you would be able to give it to others. Did you learn anything today?
It's kind of cool because your story with Joseph ties right into everything that's taken place here today with the birthday gift back there and our new monument, amen? A memorial. Joseph always made it about God. He understood that his blessing was in God. So it didn't matter what happened to him because, and we have the same promise, no one can take from us Jesus Christ. No one can take him from us. No one can separate us from him. So in every circumstance that he had, instead of focusing on here's how we get in trouble, we get selfish. Like, it's natural to be selfish and be all about you and what you want, you think, you need. But it's supernatural to, in spite of whatever the circumstances are, just keep your focus, just keep your lordship, just focus on God. Know that your blessing's in God. No one can take anything from you or do anything to you because God is the one who can get you everything that you desire. And when we get our focus off of God, we will immediately step into selfishness and wrong thinking and pity parties that'll just take us far from the blessing that we're looking for. Joseph kept his heart right. And because he kept his heart right, and you see that there's this honor for God throughout every tragic, crazy situation that happened to him, every injustice. Even though there was injustices against him, He made it about God. He never made it about him. How different do you think things would have gone if he would have made it about him? See, because God can bless us when we keep our heart right. But as soon as we step out of that place, we've stepped out of God being able to bless us. I'll never forget, many of you have heard it, some of you have not, so I'll quickly tell it. But when we were first coming here in the first couple of years that we were here, and we were in the midst of trying to renovate the place, and I had gotten a bunch of tile donated, and we had cases and cases and cases of tile donated for the North Sanctuary bathrooms and the foyer. When you walked in the North Sanctuary bathrooms and the foyer there area, if you walked through that area, you would count five different colors of flooring. That's what was there. And I wanted to fix that. And I wanted it to be nicer in God's house. And so Home Depot had donated cases and cases and cases of porcelain tile. Only problem was, we didn't know how to put it in. And so I had a back room with all these cases of tile. I was ready to put a beautiful floor in the Lord's house. An opportunity ended up presenting itself where a gentleman wanted me to come and do texture painting at his home on the walls for his wife. But he wanted it right now. And I said, I can't do that. I got a lot going on at the church. It's all tore up. You know what? I'll do that for you. But later, after I get the church done. I want it right now, because his wife wanted it right now. And I said, hey, I have an idea. Because you know what he used to own a business doing? I said, I'll tell you what. How about this? How about if you come and keep things progressing at the church by doing the floors, and then I'll do your walls? He said, okay, deal. So I went and spent, I don't know, 3 days or so. I don't remember how long it took me to take care of his home. But I took care of his home, and then I chased him to come take care of the church. And I chased him, and I chased him. I was like, hey, come on. You said. So reluctantly, he came and he set up. He came and he looked at the place and he said, well, tear it all up. You got to tear it all out. I said, well, if we tear it all out, how long does it take to put it back in? Because we got vacation Bible school next week. He said, just a few days if you tear it out right away. I said, okay. So I'll never forget, me and a bunch of the people at the church, we stayed late on a Wednesday night. I think we left here around midnight, 1 o'clock. We busted the floor all up, tore it all out. And now it looked like black tar. You know, it was just ugly. You ever seen where they, like, scrape the floors with, like, black tar? That's what it looked like. At least it was all black, right? It wasn't five different colors anymore. It was just all this black tar-looking thing. And I said, okay, it's all done. And he showed up, and he set up his tile saw, and he went in, and I swear, I think he put down 4 or 5 pieces of tile. And then he disappeared. And I call him, and I call him, and Vacation Bible School was getting closer and closer and closer, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So we had a friend of ours, Larry, was here with me at the time. I said, let's go across street to Home Depot, because then my friend said, I'm not coming. I'm not going to do it, but you can use my saw. Well, those tile saws cost, I don't know, $120 a week or something like that to rent. They were expensive. At least we had the saw, but we still didn't know what we were doing. So we went across the street and we talked to the people over at the Home Depot and said, how do you tile? And he showed us, the man showed us, and we said, okay, we're going to do that. And so we did it. And I'd never tiled before in my life, and it's probably not something that a woman should be doing, quite frankly. You know what? The mortar is heavy. The tile is heavy. Everything was heavy. And I was picking up all that stuff, and me and Larry alone just mixing it. And I was hand mixing all of it, you know, in a bucket. And I didn't know anything about tile. Did I say that? So about 3 days into this, I am a mess. Because I've been lifting 50 pounds of this and 60 pounds of that. And that's hard to stir that concrete, like the mortar, like in a bucket. You know what I mean? That takes muscles to do that. And so I was doing all that and then laying the floor down on my hands and knees, doing all that. And I'll never forget, vacation Bible school was full swing. And I was on my hands and knees over there in that foyer. And I was pushing the grout into the tile with my bare hands, which were then bleeding because of all the sand. It's like, it was a mess. And so I was a mess. I had no knee pads. Anyone who's done this knows. I had no knee pads because I didn't know that there was knee pads that you could wear when you do something like this down on your knees that much. I had no drill to mix up all the mortar because I didn't know that a drill existed that'll just and just stir it all up for you. Oh no, I'm about 35 minutes per batch. That's a lot of batches. So I'm stirring it all up. And now I'm pushing all the grout in there and grouting the floor. And it's just tearing up my hands to the point that they're bleeding. I didn't know they had grout gloves. They got grout gloves, you guys. You just put them on your hands and then you can do that without jacking up your skin. I didn't know that. So I was sitting there in pain beyond pain because I was so sore, pushing that in there. And I looked out and I saw these two gentlemen right where that information center is down there. And they had a Hot Rod magazine. They were sipping lemonade, eating some chocolate chip cookies from the vacation Bible school, looking at this Hot Rod magazine. And I, at that very moment, I just kind of lost it. And I just got so angry. And I began to talk to the Lord. And I said, Lord, is this my house or is this your house? Really? How do two men stand out there sipping lemonade and eating chocolate chip cookies, knowing that I've been in here for the last 4 days doing what I'm doing, and not come over and pick up a case of tile and help out? Because I knew the one guy totally knew how to tile. How do you do that? How do you stand on the sidelines? And I was just like, and I said, Lord, it's a good thing I can't get off the floor. Because if I could, I was talking. I said, because if I could, I would get off this floor. I'd go slap the lemonade right out of their hands. I did tell them, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, my heart began to get in just strife with these guys. They're out there sipping cookies and lemonade, you know what I mean? And I'm over here having a whole moment of rage beginning to happen. And I'm talking to God about it. It's like, good thing I can't get up. Because if I could, it would not be a good day. Would not be very Christian. And you know what he told me? Shut up. I'll never forget it because it shocked me. God does say shut up to me. I don't know about you, but he said it to me. He said, shut up. And it shocked me. Too silent. You ever see in the movies where they slap the woman when she's all hysterical? That was God's slap to me. It was just like, don't get all hysterical, Tamara. It was just a slap. And he said, shut up. And I was like, oh, did you just tell me to shut up? I was in shock. And he said, this is what he asked me. This is the best lesson of my life. I'll never forget it ever. God blessed me that day. He saved me from myself. And all this selfishness that I was getting into, because all of a sudden it was all about me. Isn't that funny? Because it was never about me before that moment. But in that moment, it became all about me. And he said, Tamara, do you want the carpet? Now, I had been trusting God and believing God for months on end that he was going to give us brand new carpeting for the church. We didn't have the money for it. I had ripped up all the old, wretchedy carpet that was here and threw it in the trash can. People were asking me in the church. We probably had about, 20 people in the church at the time. And the ladies would say, as they watching me ripping all up, did you get some carpet donated? I said, not yet, but it's coming. Why did I do that? Well, because God told me he's going to get me some carpet. So here we are months later, and I've been praying, asking God for this carpet and believing God for this carpet and got my faith out there for this carpet, don't I? I'm out, threw it in the trash. It's not like I had the money to just go ahead and buy some carpet if it didn't all happen, didn't work out. We'd have been looking at those black floors everywhere. So he said, do you want your carpet? I said, God, do I want my carpet? Are you kidding me? If I don't get the carpet, they'll hang me from that tree over there, and you know it. Because they were asking me every week, did you get some carpet donated? I mean, I knew. They were wondering, what in the world is this girl doing? I said, of course I want that carpet, Lord. Because if I don't get it, they'll hang me from the tree. It's what I told them. And he said, well, then you better watch your heart. Because if you don't watch your heart, you will tie my hands, and then I cannot get you your carpet. Never forget it. Never forget it. Did I tell you, did we talk about when we talked about making Jesus our Lord and that that's going to be just a memorial piece to us all? Did I tell you that what happens, what the enemy wants to do is bring strife and division and separate us? Why does he want to do that? Because he wants to do that because when he can do that, he can take away the blessing from us. Because we side with him instead of siding with God. And we need to make a decision that whether we're thrown in a prison or whether we're sold into slavery or whether we're lied about, that we are going to make a decision that we're going to make it all about God and not about us. See, if it had been about God in that moment over there, I know better than to get into strife with them. I would have been saying, Lord, let me tell you something. If I could get off this floor, I'd go out there and slap the lemonade right out of their hand. Lord, don't they know this is your house? Don't they know? I wouldn't have been having my little pity party. How can they do that, Lord? I'm a woman. Look at me in here. Blah, 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 blah. Right? And it happens in your life all day long in all kinds of situations. Do you keep your heart right so that God can bless you? Because we can see through Joseph's life, no matter what happened, the blessing, because they can never take God from him, whatever they're taking from him, that they cannot take. But Joseph could have taken that from himself. Just like Tamra was about to take it from herself. So instead of this phenomenal testimony that ends up happening of how awesome God is because he provided this phenomenal blessing of provision, instead of a story of this incredible faith of how I heard God, believed God, walked in faith, and then God showed up, that has blessed, believe me, many a people in the body of Christ, including myself. But what could have happened differently, what did God say to me? Do you want the carpet? Then you better watch your heart, because if you don't watch your heart, you're going to tie my hands, and then I cannot get you your carpet. I'll never forget that. I learned this lesson that we talk about today. God gave me that lesson back there on that floor. And because what did I do? I turned just as quick as I was turned one way, I turned back. I repented. I said, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Please forgive me. What they do or don't do, none of my business. If they don't want to get in on the blessing of serving you, whatever. I don't care. I'm going to thank you, Lord. Thank you for all this tile that you provided for us. Thank you that you blessed us with it. Thank you that in spite of what the guy did, thanks that he left his saw here. You know what I mean? At least I'm not paying for a saw. Thank you that we're blessed. It's just sitting here day after day. You know what? We could use it every day, and it's not costing me a dime. Thank you for Larry that he's here by my side helping me out. Thank you that I'm not doing this by myself. Thank you, Lord. See, every one of us can do that in every single situation. But we get selfish, and we start making it all about us. That was a massive pity party that would, I mean, and if you say, well, girl, you had the right, I know I did. I know. Ain't no one in their right mind would look at that situation and go, you know what? You ain't right about that. No, I was right about all of it. I'm preaching right now. Thank you. Just kidding. I couldn't help it. You come by here and use the mic and you can say anything you want to say. So anyhow, do you see what I'm saying? They can't take it from me, but I could have taken it from me. And you take stuff from yourself all the time if you don't understand that when we get our focus off of God and onto ourselves, we just lost. We just lost because we just stepped in it and we don't even know it. And we tie God's hands. Can I give you that picture? That's what he said. You will tie my hands and I cannot give to you your carpet. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. You know what? I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to meditate on that which is good. Thank you for this. I had so much to be grateful for. Amen? I was blessed. Blessed with tons of free tile. Blessed with a saw. Blessed with someone to help me. Blessed with someone who taught us how to do it. At least I wasn't standing there doing nothing. Blessed. And then, of course, you all know the end of the story. He then gave me instruction to go somewhere. I went. That day that I went, you know what? We ended up, that conversation the very next day when he directed me, that ended up being our carpet. And a whole bunch more. And I think we got a whole bunch more. Not only did we get the carpet, we got the carpet installed. Not only did we get it installed, but we became what they called a double district team depot project. And then they built all the pillars for me in brick. And they built the puppet house. They did all kinds of stuff for us. I didn't just get the carpet. I got a lot more. You know why? Because I got my heart right. And I said, God, forgive me. What was I thinking? You know what? What was I thinking? Amen. They are not my enemy.
That's right. Come on.
People are never your enemy. Never. Unless you make them your enemy. Amen. Only you can do that. And only you can rob yourself of God's blessing in your life. And we as a church can rob ourselves of the blessing of God. If we don't let that speak to us every time we walk in here. And say, you know what? Nobody is my enemy. Nobody. Not my spouse, not my children, not my boss, not my whoever. Nobody. Nobody.
That's right. Come on.
Amen?
Come on.
Amen. Okay. Did you want to say something, Boo? All right.
Let's just pray real quick. If God is speaking to you, I want you to raise you up. I want you to stand up on your feet. I want you to stand up on your feet quickly. Father, you have spoken to us, and we are your children. We hear what you're saying, and we repent. Somebody say, I repent.
I repent.
And Father, I thank you that my days in front of me are going to be better than my days behind me because I walk in your blessing. And freely I have received, and freely I'm going to give grace and mercy to people. Because that's what I want to do. And I will see the supernatural happen in my life. Because you're on my side. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Yeah.